Ezekiel 37. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. True story, nonetheless. I believe God is a God of miracles. Amen? Amen. I believe every miracle he did in the Bible is true, and I believe he can do miracles today. Amen. This is one of my favorite miracles. You say, well, miracles are on the New Testament. Well, God did some miracles too, did he not, in the Old Testament? And in chapter 37, we see one of my favorite passages of Scripture, probably in all of the Bible. I think one of God's, other than salvation, greatest miracles. So let's stand. We'll read the first 10 verses of Ezekiel 37. I'll try and read fast, that we don't stand for too long. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This evening, I want to speak on this subject, a bone to pick with missions. A bone to pick with missions. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful service we had thus far, the beautiful music, the special by the young men. Lord, it blessed my heart. Lord, thank you for pastor's heart, for missions, his heart for souls. Lord, thank you for this church, the hospitality and the blessing they've been to us. But Lord, help them to be a blessing to this community. Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us, and thank you for everything you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. Brother Stephen, what's that got to do with missions? Ezekiel and a valley of dry bones, what's that got to do? Thank you for asking that. I'll answer that in about 20, 30 minutes. Pastor said I had until 9 o'clock, so hold on, all right? He told me y'all had no schedules, so that's very dangerous. Ezekiel was tasked to do something that many would view as impossible. God told him, go to this valley and prophesy to these bones and say to these bones, hey, you're going to live again. And I don't know what happened. Maybe the Bible says he carried him out in the spirit. And I don't know if he passed someone along the way and someone said, hey, Ezekiel, what you doing? Hey, I'm going to go to a valley, this valley of dry bones. What are you going to do there? I'm going to tell these bones that they can live. Ezekiel, you nuts? What in the world? Bones can't live. And as far as Ezekiel knew, there was no way for these bones that they could do anything for themselves. And it seemed almost pointless to do what God was asking him to do. And in his head, it probably didn't make much sense. And in Matthew chapter 28, God gives the great commission. Go ye into all the world, teach all nations. I believe that's what it is. It's Matthew chapter 28. We'll be there in a second. But and even in Mark it says, preach the gospel to every creature. That was the command he told us to do. And I guess you could say we've been tasked to do something that many people, they say, what are you doing? I'm trying to reach the world for the gospel. You're nuts. That's impossible. Nevertheless, it's a command given by Jesus. Because in and of ourselves, it is an impossibility. We're limited by boundaries. We're limited by culture barriers, limited by language barriers, limited by, I don't know, maybe papers and visas and residence. We're limited by that. So There's no way one person could go and reach a world of 8.2 billion people. If everyone here in this church went out to a different country, there'll still be plenty left to do. How can Blessed Hope Baptist Church reach a world for the gospel? We know the story. Ezekiel came down and he go and prophesy to these bones. And the Bible says God asks him a question. He says, he calls him Son of Man. That's the name for Ezekiel in the book. He says, Son of Man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responded in a much more mature manner than I would have. He answers with, O Lord God, thou knowest. And if you would have asked me, hey, can these bones, I mean, there's a couple cemeteries down the street, and you say, hey, bring me there. Hey, Brother Stephen, can these bones live? I say, absolutely not, and I hope they don't. If that happens, I'm moving out of Lytton, moving out of Indiana. I don't want to be here. No, but God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, you know. And God gave him the exact words. And Ezekiel's job was to give him to say those. That was Ezekiel's job. And I don't know about you, but you know, I'm assuming Ezekiel's a human, so he has human emotions. That's how I can relate to Ezekiel a little bit. I'm trying to think how can I relate to him. Ezekiel is used to prophesying to his nation. He was God's prophet. And normally he's used to prophesying to living people. So he says something and he gets some kind of response, whether it's a yeah or no or whatever. Let me put it in perspective. Have you ever had that friend or someone, don't point at him, please, or her, but have you ever had that someone, when you talk to them, try to have a conversation, it's like talking to a brick wall? We all know that someone, right? It's like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How was work? It was good. How's your family? Oh, they're alive. Come on, you know, say something. We want to have a conversation, right? But and so he's used to this, and now he's getting to the point where he's prophesying to bones. And I don't know about you, but bones don't react. They shouldn't react, right? You look at them, you say something, they don't react. The closest thing I had to that was probably when COVID first came out. That was one of the first times I preached at the church I was interning at. And the pews were empty, and there was a camera right there in the middle for the live stream. And I felt weird. Because I felt weird preaching to the chairs because there was nobody there. I feel like I look a little crazy. But I didn't want to, like, preach at the camera either, because I didn't want people looking at he's turning to my soul kind of a deal. So I was kind of awkward, kind of weird. I think that's the closest I can get to that. But Ezekiel's there and he's preaching the word. He's prophesying. Turn with me to Matthew. Keep your finger there in chapter 37. Turn real quick to Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to do some correlations. Matthew chapter 28. You're in missions month, so this is probably going to refer to probably every week, if not most weeks, either this one or Mark chapter 16 or Acts 1:8. Those are very popular missions verses, so you'll probably get alluded to that multiple times this week. And we see in verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. By the way, let me tell you this right now. We cannot do anything for the will of God without the power of Jesus Christ. We go out doing with our own power, it's going to go all the way down. It's not going to work. It's going to fail. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see, number one, a correlation between Ezekiel and Matthew. Number one, we see here, if you're taking notes, the mandate of missions. We see the mandate of missions. In Ezekiel 37, we'll start here. In Matthew 28, the Bible gives a one two-letter word, G-O, go. When you're at a race, you're starting, and on your mark, get set, go, and you take off. When they say go, you move. When they say go, you run. When they say go, you do something. When Jesus says go, we have to do something. The Christian life is not something we just glide through. No, it's a Christian life is a life of action. an act of service, a life of service. Pastor said it beautifully this morning. The Christian life lived properly is a life of sacrifice and of service. People say, oh, Christians live so boring. They must, whoever they're looking at, must not be living it right. Because I tell you now, right now, the Christian life I'm living is very exciting. Very exciting. I was at a missions conference. I was worried this morning when I opened it up for questions, and this is why. I was at a missions conference this past week, and they had to do, they did question time in the middle of the service. And there was a little, how old are you, young man, with the green? How old are you? Six. So around that age, had a little boy named Walker around his age, six or seven, and he raised his hand for a question. I said, absolutely. So I, young man, we have a question. He goes, Mr. Stephen, why did you marry someone that doesn't speak Spanish? I never thought of it that way. It's exciting. I mean, everyone started laughing. No one asked a question after that. They thought they probably couldn't ask a better question than that. But it's exciting. Like we get to see God work. We got to get to see God work in people. We were at a church down in Bradenton, Florida. I was preaching down there. And after I finished preaching, there's these two young men sitting about the second row. The aisles were on the side, so it was one that had a section right here in the center. Two young boys sitting on the second pew, hung on to every word that came out of my, well, the whole service, technically. And they came up after me and said, hey, Brother Stephen, can we ask you a couple questions? So I asked pastors, is it okay? Do you want to take care of it? So, no, you go. And one of the young men came to me and said, hey, I grew up Catholic all my life, and all this is new. Can you show me more about this gospel, this salvation? Well, what is it is about? And I was able to lead him through the plan of salvation and lead him to the Lord. Amen. And he was so excited. He said, hey, before we pray, can I record it? It's like, yeah, yes. We never had someone record. Hey, I want a video recorder so I can show my parents. Amen. What? That's wonderful. Christian life is exciting. It's a plan of action. Go. In Ezekiel 37, Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out. Wherever the Lord wanted Ezekiel to go, he went. If you go through all of the book of Ezekiel, the Lord had him do some very strange things. He said, Ezekiel, shave your head. And he did. Ezekiel, shave your beard. And he did. Now, Ezekiel, I want you to make a mold of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Make it out of sand or clay. Don't believe me? Look it up. It's true. So he makes a little clay or a miniature, a replica of Jerusalem. He says, now I want you to put your hair around and in the city. Yes, Lord. And he's doing. I can only imagine what the people are looking like. What is this man doing? He's going crazy. And he says, now I want you to light it on fire. It's kind of strange, is it not? But that had a message. Hey, it's prophesying judgment. If we don't repent, the city is going to burn. On another occasion, I want to say this is strange, but God took his wife from Ezekiel. And when someone passes away in the Jewish culture, mourning is very important, the whole mourning aspect. But when he took Ezekiel's wife, he said, you are not allowed to mourn. Right. But people said, Ezekiel, what are you doing? You should be in sackcloth and ashes. You should be mourning for your wife. But that had a message to it. Whatever God had Ezekiel to do, he went. Lord said, go to the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel said, yes, sir. He didn't say, well, how much is it going to cost me? He didn't say, well, am I going to have a house over there? He didn't say, well, am I going to have a job over there? He said, yes, sir, and I'm going. It's a mandate to go. This mandate of go, number one, is a command to acknowledge. It's a command to acknowledge. Who's been in the military? When your captain, lieutenant, your sergeant, when they give you a command, They want you to acknowledge it. Yes, sir. No, sir. You don't say, yeah, bro, I'm going to do it. Or no. No, it's a command. You acknowledge it. If you don't say a word, if you don't respond, well, you might get in trouble, right? When your mother says, son, I want you to go clean your room, you respond with yes, ma'am, or however he wants to respond. Hopefully it's yes, ma'am. My mom said, son, go clean your room. Son, go fix your bed. Son, go vacuum the floor. Son, go do the dishes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God has called each and every one of us to go. It at least deserves some kind of acknowledgement. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Matthew 4, 19 and 20, Jesus is calling his disciples. He said unto them, this is Jesus, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, period, or comma. It's not, when you're done with your job, follow me. When you're in a good, stable financial position, follow me. When you're in good spiritual, the perfect spiritual condition, follow me. When you're X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. No, he just said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, I'm not the most mature spiritual Christian. Notice the words, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow Christ, as we obey his commandments, as we're plugged in the church, we will learn how to be fishers of men. I will tell you right now, when Jesus first took on his disciples, they were pretty rugged. They were rough. They didn't know how to split us first into two and preach for millions and millions of people. No, they had to be worked on. It's a command. And the Bible says they straightway left and followed. They right away, immediately. It's a command to acknowledge. Number two, it's a call to answer. This goal, this mandate of mission is a call to answer. When you call someone on the phone, what do you expect? An answer. Not an answering machine. An answer. I called a college friend of mine. And then his name is Alan. And I needed some answer. I need some information. So I called him and it rang and he picks up. He goes, hello? Hey, Alan, I need some information. Okay, yeah. I need to know about, and I started talking. Then the voicemail goes, just kidding, leave your message at the beep. That was his voicemail. I wanted to wring his neck. I said, oh, don't you ever do that to me again. Imagine if a missionary did that. People called me. It's a call to answer. I will say this first and foremost. The call to anyone's life, number one, first and most important, is a call of salvation. Without that first, nothing else matters. Because we can't do the work for the Lord properly if we don't have... We can't share the gospel. We can't share something I've never had. If I said, hey, you want a candy bar? Yes or no? Yes. Well, I don't have one. Doesn't do you any good, does it? And doesn't do me any good. Why would we try and share? We can't share something we've never had. And that's essentially what it is. When we share the gospel, we are witnesses. In Acts 1:8, we're witnesses, someone who have experienced something. We've experienced something and we're telling someone else. So number one, and first and foremost, it's a call to salvation. But then the Lord has a specific calling for your life. In 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We're easy to say, oh, This young man over here, his every hair is perfect in its place. He should go. Oh, this young lady, she should go. No. What about me? Oh, I'm not good enough. Hogwash. That's a southern word. It means it's not true. Throw that away. Hogwash. It's a call. But how many times do we leave the Lord on our answering machine? God's calling you to something. He's burdening your heart for someone, saying, Lord, when I'm not busy, I'll get back to it. I may get back to it. The issue isn't people. The issue isn't that God isn't calling. The issue is that people are not answering. Are you one of those that are not answering? Am I one of those that I'm not answering? It's a call to answer. Number three, this mandate of missions is a career to accomplish. This Christian life is a lifelong thing. There's no retirement for a Christian on earth. Our retirement ends when we get to heaven. Until then, we must be busy. We must be busy. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he was at a point in his life where he was done. Bible says, and then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name. I'm done. God, I'm done. This life is too hard. No more. These people are stubborn. They won't listen to me. I'm done. But the Bible says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. I could not be quiet. I could not stop. Because his burden for his people was so much that he wanted to see them repent. And my question to you is, how was your burden for souls? You saw people in the video. What did you see? What did you see? Do you know what I saw? As sheep having no shepherd. That's what I saw. It's a career to accomplish. So we see this, number one, this mandate of missions is to go. Number two, we see the message of missions. The message of missions. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 28, but we'd be going back and forth. So Matthew chapter 28. Notice back in Ezekiel, God gave Ezekiel specific instructions of what to say. And the Bible says in verse number 19 of chapter 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Things you learn, the message you have, is this message of salvation, first and foremost. Again, I say, if you've never experienced a time in your life where you've cried out to God and you've asked Him to come into your heart to save you, that's the first step. But then, now you have at least that message to give to someone else. Someone said it this way, witnessing a Christian sharing the gospel with another person is like a poor man telling another poor man where to find bread. That's how someone put it. It's like, that sounds about right. There's a message, there's a story to tell to the nation. We just had a song like that, right? There's a story to tell to the nations. And we say, oh, missions conference, nations, this country and that country and this country. Well, you know America's part of those nations too. And I'm just trying to be sure. Sometimes during missions conference, we get hyper-focused on what's out there that we forget about here. Yeah. That, okay, those missionaries are... Let me tell you this. You're expecting the missionaries that you support to go to a different country and to share the gospel with those people, correct? As you should. It's biblical. They should, you should expect that. But shouldn't they, as your missionaries, expect Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do the same thing here? It's not fair that we stay here and say, okay, we're going to have missionaries go there and there and over there and over there. They preach the gospel. I'm going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs because it's nice and comfy here. There's a message. Bible says in Matthew, in Mark, the words preach. In Matthew, the word teach, talk verbally. This stuff of, I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm just going to live a good Christian life and maybe they'll ask me about it. That's not going to work. Yes, your actions should reflect on the words you say. Yes, we should be living a Christian life, not not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to God. Yes, we should live right, like Pastor said, not to affirm our salvation, but to prove our salvation, if you will. It's nothing to do with whether we're saved or not. And we should live like that. But the Bible says we should also preach and teach and tell. Ezekiel had a message to give to these bones. It was an important message. This was an important message. Without this message from Ezekiel, these bones would probably never live again. Without the message of the gospel, this world will never live spiritually again. We live in a valley full of dead bones. They're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. Spain has been a place of a valley of dry bones for many, 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 many years. It's been a place of Christian persecution. You read up on the Spanish Inquisition. Christians were killed. There was a plaza in the center of Madrid. It's now a tourist street. It's called Plaza Mayor. And you can go in, and it's all, you know, shops and stuff. But historically, that was the place where they dumped all the Christian bodies. Rumor and a legend has it that when the horses went through the plaza, that the blood would go up to the knees of the horses because there's so many bodies. And if someone wanted to bring their loved one that was killed and give them a burial, they had to dig through mountains and mountains of bodies to find them. We live in a place of dead bones. This message was important. Not only was this message important, but this message was inclusive. Inclusive. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God did not command Ezekiel to go to the valley and just prophesy to the skulls, or just prophesy to the kneecap, or the femur, or whatever other bone, the hip bone. No, he said Ezekiel prophesied to all the bones. No exception. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ezekiel had a message to preach, a prophecy. And mind you, Ezekiel did not change the words to make it easier to preach. Ezekiel didn't change the words so that the bones wouldn't get offended. He didn't change the words so that may make it easier to understand. I think you know where I'm getting at. We have too many preachers. And these big mega churches, and they come through my social media, because I follow some pastors, and sometimes these preachers will come through my social media saying the craziest of things. Oh well, God cannot be really God because he wants all to come to repentance, but we know that some are not going to be saved, so can he be really God? And they twist the words and they twist it because they don't want to offend nobody. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. God's going to forgive you at some point, so you don't have to. It's all right. God understands that you're not perfect, so it's okay to sin. No, Ezekiel said exactly how it was. And some people get offended, as it should. Because when we're offended, usually that means that we're convicted. Right? We get that conviction. We say, oh, no, we're offended. No, we're just convicted. We're just convicted. The gospel is life-changing. We didn't go to Spain to teach them how to play the NFL. We're not going to Spain and teach them about American stuff or this, that, and the other. No, because why? Because none of that matters in their life, because what's really going to change their life is the gospel. And when someone hears the gospel and they accept it, that's going to change their life. And for a lot of the Spanish people, they say, well, my life is perfect the way it is. I don't want you to change it. Does that mean I should change the way I should say it so maybe they won't get... No, I'm sorry. If the gospel offends you, I'm not sorry. Because the gospel is what changes a life. It's an important message, it's an inclusive message, and it's an imminent message. A message that should be brought out immediately. Immediately. Don't wait till you're 16, 17, or 18. Don't wait till you're 20, 24, 25. Don't wait till you're 30, 40. Don't wait. Spread it now. Amen. Why? Two reasons. Number one, the Lord's coming soon. He's coming very soon. Paul thought he was coming soon back in his day. And here we are 2,000 years later-ish. We're definitely a whole lot closer than he was. He's coming soon. We don't know when he may become, but he's coming to. But also for another reason. We don't know how long we're going to live. Oh, I'm going to share with so-and-so next time I see him at work. You may not see him, or you may not make it to work. You may be sitting here tonight saying, you know what, this thing of salvation, this thing of surrendering, this thing of giving my life to Christ, I'll do it next week. You may not make it to next week. Oh, but Stephen, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm just telling you the truth. James says our life is but a vapor. It's an imminent message. So we have the mandate of missions. We have the message of missions. Number three, and most important, the means of missions. So we saw the command to go. Now we see the message, the gospel. How are we going to do that? How is Blessed Hope Baptist Church going to participate in this thing called missions to reach a world for Christ? First of all, let me tell you that missions is not something some wise man woke up one morning and said, you know what? I got a perfect plan for missions. No, mission is God's plan to reach a world for Christ. And how it's done is when a local church, a faithful local church like yourself, supports another missionary to go. Now, I'll tell you right now, the local church is not more important than the missionary. The missionary is not more important than the local church. The Bible calls them co-laborers. Amen. Blessed Hope Baptist Church could not fulfill the Great Commission if a missionary was not in a different country. The missionary could not be in that country if it's not for the local church. We need each other. And if the devil can get the local church to stop witnessing, the local church dies. And when the local church dies, missionaries come off the field. When missionaries come off the field, no one's no longer there. The devil is attacking churches here in America. The devil's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. He knows if he can get churches in America to die, missionaries all over the world will have to come home. He's not stupid. The means of missions, it takes each and every one of us. You personally, each and every one of you can have a part in missions. But Stephen, how? Thank you for asking, I'll tell you. But first, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. First things first, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That has to come first. You cannot witness without the power of God. We kind of said it a little earlier. You need the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, in order for things to work the way they should. Every ministry you work in here, without the power of God, it'd be worth nothing. It's going to fall at some point or other. And number one, how can Blessed Hope Baptist Church be a part of worldwide missions, number one is through your prayer. Number one is through your prayer. Pray for each other. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your missionaries. We have a pamphlet in the back. How to effectively pray for your missionaries. It's a simple book. Step by step. How can we? There's lots of things missionaries go through that they cannot put on that prayer letter. You know that missionaries have emotions? Sometimes, missionaries come here and most of them are, they're happy and they make jokes. But, sometimes they get depressed. Sometimes their family goes through a crisis. Sometimes they have marital issues. Sometimes they have issues with their kids. In a missionary family, 2 years ago, the uncle raped the daughter. Had a kid. It happens. Why? Because missionaries are human like you are. The same issues and problems we have here in America are the same issues and problems that missionaries have on the field, just in a different country. Pray for your missionaries. They need your prayer. Pray for each other. Prayer. Number one, prayer. Be careful for nothing. This is Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray for everything. Intercessory prayer. Pastor talked about it this morning. Intercessory prayer. Pray for a missionary on behalf. When we were kids, my family had a little basket. And I know, we were missionaries in Spain, but we also pray for missionaries. That doesn't exempt us missionaries for praying for each other. We had a basket full of prayer cards. And every day, we flip to the next one, and we pray for them. And every day, then we flip to the next one, and flip to the next one. Prayer. Prayer is powerful. Number two, through your provision. Unfortunately, the world revolves around money. And this is where I'm going to get a little, hopefully, get through this part. But 2 Corinthians 8 talks about the Macedonian church, where they gave of themselves first. Notice that they gave of themselves first. When we give ourselves to God, when we surrender our lives to God, the money giving is not going to be a problem. Too many times where we throw money here, we throw money there, and then it's okay, we'll solve it with... No, first give yourself to God, and the money will come after. Amen. How can I be a cheerful giver? I have to give for this thing and give for that thing and give for that thing. Well, if we're all sold out for God, you want to give for this thing and give for that thing. But I think what we need to do first is get an offering plate. And before we put our wallets in there, let's put ourselves in there and say, Lord, whatever you want from me, you have. And last of all, how can Blessed Baptist Church be involved in worldwide missions? Number three, through your presence. Through your presence. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, we'll finish there. In 2014, when my family came off the field, we were in the airport, ready to fly home from America. And one of the men in the church told my dad, "With the Lions, you're leaving. Send somebody back." My wife and I were there in November, visiting a missionary. And one of the older men, Spanish young men, a Spaniard came up to me and says, "Brother Stephen, we need more churches." I want to say something this evening. If God is dealing on your heart about missions. There's a world that needs you. If God is dealing on your heart about staying here and supporting, the world needs you. Because when each and every one of us obey exactly what the Lord wants us to do, the whole world can hear of the gospel. But we're the ones that limit God. We say, God's all powerful. Yes, but he gives you free will. And if we're not surrendered, nothing's going to happen. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Verse number 30. And I sought for men among them. I should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Can that be said of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I challenge you this evening. Is God looking through the pews of Blessed Hope Baptist Church looking for someone to use? Can't find anybody. I said earlier, God doesn't call lazy Christians. Man, it wouldn't it be awesome to do something big for God? Well, how is he expecting to use you if we're not even doing the little things for him? And sometimes we get involved in ministry and we're obeying him, but then we get so comfortable with where we're at. Oh, I'm comfortable with my children's ministry. I'm teaching them every week. Nothing can change. God's not going to move me from here. That's not entirely true. God needs bodies. God needs living and breathing people to surrender their all to him. We sing that song, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Are you just singing it? Or do you mean it? Amen. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, that I've reached a point where I've surrendered. No, for me it's daily. I got up Friday morning to start traveling on the way here, and I told my wife, I don't want to drive. I'm tired. I've been driving for a month. I just want to stop. But you know, if I stop, I'll never get to Spain, and I'll never reach the people I'm supposed to reach. Amen. I said, you know, if I would have said, Lord, you know what? I'm done with this missions thing. I'm just going to take a church in America, and I never reach the people in Spain I'm supposed to reach. God needs bodies. My question to you is, will Blessed Hope Baptist Church be someplace where God looks down, looking for someone to do his will, looking for someone to be sold out for God, looking for someone who has a burden for souls, and he finds no one? And it all starts where you're at. I said earlier this morning, there are people that you come into contact with that will only listen to you. Because the mission field doesn't start. My mission field doesn't start when I get to Spain. My mission field is now. Wherever I go, I'm to be a witness. Your mission field doesn't start listening to me on people. Your mission field does not start when you have your first job or when you have your career. No, your mission field starts now. Are we sold out for God? Are we? Because when we're sold out for God, God will give you a burden for souls. Well, so-and-so, I don't think I can share that. I will share one story. I'm being totally transparent. One story and I'm done. I went to the grocery store. And I had a bill buy a couple things. And one of them was milk. And that's important to the story. And, of course, milk is refrigerated. It's cold, so it needs to be in the refrigerator. So I bought it. I was on my way home. I walked out of the grocery store. There was a man leaning against the store with a cigarette and smoking. And I felt the Holy Spirit in my heart, hey, you should give this man a track. I had a couple in my pocket. And I said, Lord, Do you see how big he is? He was big. He said, yeah. Do you know how big I am? I said, okay, well, good point. But Lord, do you know how small I am? He goes, I know, but do you know how big I am? I said, but Lord, I have milk. He goes, so? It's going to get warm, it's going to spoil, and then going to lose, that's going to, waste the money that you've given me. I'm supposed to be a steward of my money, right? Making all kinds of excuses. Long story short, I walked to my car, did not talk to him. Got in my car, turned it on. He didn't give him a track. But Lord, he didn't give him a track. All right, Lord. Give me 2 minutes. I'll go back and give him a track. Went back. Dropped the car. Walked back. Wasn't there. Never saw him again. That hurts. I don't know. Maybe I was the last person that could give him something. And I never will. Why? Because I missed that opportunity. I was so focused on my schedule. On my own things I needed to do, I missed an opportunity. Let that not happen to you. Let that not happen to Blessed Old Baptist Church. I beg you. Give yourselves to God and let Him do what in your life what you want Him to do. Because when we live a life sold out for God, that's a life worth living. Amen. A life worth living. Is God looking on Blessed Old Baptist Church? He's looking for someone. It's Ezekiel 22. Is that going to happen to you? That's up to you. That's up to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for salvation, Lord, the price you paid. Lord, you paid so much. You gave everything. You died on the cross for us, and you gave the ultimate sacrifice, your life. To give us a way to be saved. Lord, and now you've given us the task to go to the entire world and preach the gospel. Preach the truth that you came and you lived a sinless life and you died on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us never, never to miss an opportunity to share the gospel. Help us to confess our sins. Lord, we're not perfect, and you know that. But Lord, if there's sin in our lives, we can't live for you. Help us to confess those sins and get our lives right. Help us to be sold out for you. Help us to give our lives to you so that you can use us in ways that we can't even imagine. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to live in a country where we can meet in a place like this. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name.